All right, so we're going to begin. We finished up the parak yesterday. Today we begin the next parak and continue with the mincha that the woman brought to the mikdash. So over here it says, "Hayanotelet minchata mitoch kfifa mitzrit." So we mentioned in the beginning of the previous parak that as opposed to another mincha which comes in a kalkot shokeshev v'zahav, that her mincha she brings in a kfifa mitzrit. Now the question is, Hayinotel et minchata. Who is it that took her mincha?
And it's the husband of the kohen.
All right, very good. So the Rashi says it's the baal. I mean, that we said earlier on that what that mitzvah kohuna only starts mikmitzah veilech. Only from kmitzah and onward does the kohen get involved with the process. And what about hagasha? We said before not only is kmitzah, but even hagasha belongs to the kohen. Rashi says something interesting. He says hagasha is tchilat kmitzah. That hagasha is basically a prep for doing the kmitzah, and therefore it's involved with the kohen. But so Rashi says over here where she's doing stuff that is prior to hagasha, prior to kmitzah. It means no tell. It's the husband's going to take it, and he's going to do the process that is until the kohen gets involved. So when it's hayan tell, that is the husband. The Tosa Sovir brings down that the Rishami says that the Netilah here was on Ayideh Kohen, right? That the Kohen took it from her, and not like Rashi says, that the husband got involved over here. So now, either way, which we said before, every mincha, right, is only kadosh b'kedusha damim until it's placed into a kli sharet, and then becomes kadosh b'kedusha saguf. So if they move it into a kli sharet, v'notna al yada, and then they place it on her hand, v'kohen meniach yadav mitachteha, and then the kohen has to place his hands under her hands, umenifa, and then they do a tufa, they do a wave offering with the mincha. Hanif vehigish kamatz viktir. So now they do the process of the mincha, which is they do hanafa, the tufata mincha, then a hagashat mincha, which we already discussed towards either to the southwestern side of the mizbeach. Kamatz, they took off the kmitzah. Vehigtir, which is the kmitzah, is taken up to the mizbeach and placed on the mizbeach and the other klisha, right? And the remainder, once that's all done, the kohen consumes the remainder. So now, the next piece. This will be the subject of a lot of the discussion of our Gemara today. First she drinks the mesota, and then they put the mincha, or bring the mincha, and place it on the mizbech. Rabbi Shimon Omer, makrivet minchata. First they do the mincha, and then afterwards she drinks. Right, so that if afterwards, after she drinks, right, then they place the mincha on the mizbeach. If she drank and then it was done, meaning if they did it out of order, right, meaning that then shira, even the chadak shira, still kasher. All right, so depending on Rabbi Shimon, who says first the mincha should go on, and then she drinks, because the pasuk says vayichai shkati shamayim after the mincha. Nevertheless, if they do it like the chachamim say, which is first to drink and then bring the mincha, it's still kishera b'diavad if it's out of order.
The one thing the chachamim says, hinif v'gish kamatz v'iktir.
Gemara's going to ask you a question. Very good. Gemara's going to ask exactly your question. What do you mean? We just already did iktir. What are you going back and putting it on this map again? Very good. All right. Amarle Rabbi Elazar the Rabbi Yoshia the Dare. So Rabbi Elazar said to Rabbi Yoshia from his generation. What does he mean, Rabbi Yoshia from his generation? So that's not, it's the Amora. I mean, Rabbi Yoshia the Amora, not Rabbi Yoshia the Tana. So that's instead of calling him, Rabbi Yoshia Hazokin or something else, or Rabbi Yoshia some other term or adjective, they call him Rabbi Yoshia the Dare of his generation. So that was a way to term him as the Amora, not the Tana. All right. Lo, Teitev. Don't sit down, basically, until you explain to me this sugya. Right? Where do you know, right, or tenufa minala? Where do you know that the minchat sota needs tenufa, needs a wave offering? So it says, Gemara says, ve'nif ketivva. Right? It says that you have to be menif. The Omer, or Menif, not the Omer, but Menif, the Sota. The problem with the Hainif by the Minchat HaSoda is that that's an instruction to the right? Kohen. It says in Pasuk Chof Hei, Lakach HaKohen V'yar Yishra'et Mechad HaKnot V'hei Nifet HaMin Chadosh Ne'Hashem. So we know who needs to do Hanafah. That's the Kohen. Where do you know that the Balim need it? So that's the Gemara's next question. Right, the Balim inale. How do you know that the Balim require to do Hanafah? It says, Atzi Yad, Yad Mishlamim. We have Exer Shaba to Shlamim. K'tiv HaKov LaKach Kohen Miyad HaYisha. By Sotach, the Kohen will take it from the hand of the Yisha. And by taking it from the hand of the Yisha, then he does the Einif. So that Yad, K'tiv HaTom, Yadav to Vienna. Right, that is hand to bring it, right, and they do a haramah, they do a tenufah lifnei Hashem by the emurim and the shok and the chazeh of the shlamim. Ma kohen kohen, afka halan kohen. Just like over here by sotah you require kohen, so too by shlamim you're going to require kohen. Ma lahalan, by shlamim where it's written the tenufah, it's written by the balim, afkan v'balim, hakezad. Well, if both the kohen and the balim have to do the tenufah, how do we both do tenufah? That's the Gemara answers. That's what our Mishnah said. That the Kohen places his hands below the hands of the Balim, and together they do the wave offering and they do the Tenufah. So therefore, from Shlamim we learn that the Balim do it. From Sotah we learn the Kohen does it. Together we know that they both do it. Right, yeah, they're learning in both directions. That is correct. Right, Kohen's learned from here and Balim from Shlamim. Very good. Alright, next. So, Shaul's question. They already put it on the Mizbeach, like Shaul asked. This is Hiktir. So what are you coming back and saying, Mashkeh and then Makbib again? Hakikamar. Seder Menachot Ketzad. No, so first the Gemara is describing a general process of Menachot. Nothing to do with this Ozah. Ketzad. A regular Mincha, you do Hanafa, you do Hegisha, you do Kamat Viktir. Bashar Nechal HaKohenim. That's the general Mincha. Uba Hashka'a Gufa Pligi Reb Shimon V'Rabbanon. Then when it comes back, and then we look here, okay, understanding where does the Hashka'a fit in that process of the Mincha, that's the Machlokas Reb Shimon and the Rabbanon. The Rabbanon Sabrei Mashkeh V'Achakach Makriv. That when you say Viktir over there, doesn't really mean that's the order, but rather there's Ashkata Sotah. So the drinks in the interim, and then there's Akrava and Minchadar. Bishim and Savar, Makriv and Minchadar, Akrabak Mashkeh. Now literally, the order is the way it is. She puts the Minch on his back, and then, or the coin puts it on his back, and then she drinks. And Emar, Bakar Yishkev. Right, so afterwards, the Sotah will drink. Right? Now, we're gonna go, Bimishkah, Bakar Kach, Ikrivet Minchadar, if she drank, and then, afterwards, brought the Minchas Kshira. All right, before we start the next Gemara, let's just take a look at the Pesukim, just so we understand where this Gemara is coming from, or what the drive of the Gemara is over here. So if you look in the Pesukim, in Pesukim Chav Gimel, right, this is where the Gemara is. The Gemara is really deal with that section that deals with, from Chav Gimel to Chav Chet. The first Pesuk, in Pesukim Chav Gimel, it says, V'katavet el lot elak wein b'sefer, u'macha el me'amarim. That you erase the Megillat Sotah, you erase it in the waters. Then, what do you do with that? V'hishka et ha'isha et me'amarim ha'me'arim. So then you give her to drink, right? So it sounds like that she now is drinking the water, right? Next, v'lakach ha'koim miyad ishad min chataknaot. So now it sounds like she drank the me'amarim already, and now the Kohen is taking the adisha min chata kinaot. She's taking the mincha, ve'inifet the mincha, you do the tnufa, ve'kivu otal mizbech, that's agasha, ve'kamat the Kohen min ha'mincha, et askarata, you do the kmitza, ve'kitir mizbech, and then you put on the mizbech. So that sounds like the chachamim, which is that first she drank, and then she brought a mincha. But now the problem is, look at the next part of this pasuk, v'achar yashke et ha'isha et ha'mayim. So now, what happened? I thought she already drank, and now, v'achar yashke et ha'mayim. So already, you had the bishka, she drank it once, then you have the mincha being brought on the mizbeach, and then it says, v'achar yashke et ha'mayim. Then afterwards, she'll drink again. So which one is it? Did she drink before, or did she drink afterwards? Now you can see where the machlokas Rabbanan and the Bishimon is coming from, is which one is the koveya here? Which one is wrong, or which one is dafka, and which one is lav dafka? Now, problem is from Zayin again, which is v'ishka et ha'mayim, and then she drinks again. So, meaning that you've had, in this set of sukim, the woman has drank, right, as the woman has drank the waters three times. She drank a Vishkata Isha, then Bakayashkiata Isha, and then Vishkata Mayim. Right? So then you have three times that it comes up, and that's basically what you're going to have to do with it. What? Right, but we generally don't say that. Well, first of all, the Ramban does not believe that. The Ramban believes that it is Mukdam Mukhavetar unless it's explicitly said. And within the context of a single parsha, I don't think we would say a Mukdam Mukhavetar. We say that if there are general areas of the Torah, that there's a Mukdam Mukhavetar, that if one parsha may fit somewhere else. But to say with it internally in a parsha, there's a Mukdam Mukhavetar, it's rare that we'll say that unless there's a limud to tell us to do it otherwise. So now you have Yishkat HaMayim, Vaitayim Nitim Avit Timo, Mal Vaishav HaMayim HaMarim LeMarim, V'Tzavta B'Nam Tafal Yechav, Vaitay Yishav HaLa B'Ker Vama. So now you have these three things. Now, basically what the Gemara is going to deal with at this point is, what do you do with those three items? Vaishkat, the first one, Vakar Yashkeh, and then Vaishkat again. What's literal, what's extraneous, and what do you do with the extraneous ones for the Limudim? So just as background, it makes it much easier to understand where the Gemara is coming from now. Alright, so Torah Banan. V'hishka, ma Talmud lomar. V'alo kvar nemar, v'hishka. Right, doesn't it already say, v'hishka. She'im nimchaka megillah, v'omeret eni shoteh. If the Megillah is already erased, if she says, I don't drink. Mi'ar irinota umashkinota ba'al korcha, divi Rabbi Akiva. Right, so therefore we force her to drink against her will. So meaning that the sukkim here, we saw it started the v'hishka twice. So one of them is necessary to teach you she has to drink, and one is necessary to teach you what Rabbi Akiva says, that she drinks even if she refuses to drink. Now, what does Rabbi Akiva hold with regards to when did she drink? Right. Well, that depends on which hishka is extra and which hishka is literal. And that happens to be a Machlokas Rashi and Tosos. Happens to be the Gemara here, our Gemara reads with the Girsa of Rashi. Right. From the Girsa of Rashi, it seems to be that the hishka that Rabbi Akiva is speaking about, right, is the second, that the hishka that he thinks is the limud versus the one that he thinks is literal, right, is going according to Rabbi Shimon's opinion. And that's the opinion of Rashi over here. That Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shimon have the same opinion. And if you look down in the Rashi, the second Rashi on the Omer, it says Rabbi Shimon Omer. In a second, we're going to see Rabbi Shimon's opinion, but we saw in the Mishnah already. V'achar Yashkeh, Matalomar Gvor Nemar Rabbi Yishka. Lo Polig Ad Rabbi Akiva. He does not argue on Rabbi Akiva. El Mare Darish Haikra, or Mare Darish Haikra. That each one of them darshens a different pasuk, but in the end, they both believe the same thing, that the V'yishka, right, teaches you that the literal Ashka is afterwards. Meaning that the hishka happens, or the drinking of the mesulta happens after the akrobas mincha. Right, so that too, Rabbi Akiva is going to believe that it happens after akrobas mincha, and therefore, when we say the hishka and hishka, that means that the hishka tamay. The second Mishka, that's kind of Pasuk Chav Zayin, is with the literal one. And that's why Rabbi Akiva believes, what? That the Hashka happens after. But what if the Hashka afterwards is literal, then what do you do with the Hashka that was prior? I mean, that Hashka before is lopped off, because it didn't happen before the Mincha. What do you do with that? And Rabbi Akiva tells us that, what? Im Nimchaka Migila. Once the Migila is erased, we force her to drink. Now Rabbi Shimon Omer, Vachar Yashkeh. He says in our Gemara, right? Yishon Omer, Achar Yashkeh, Ma Talum Elomar. Atlok Var Ne'emar V'Yishka, right? Doesn't already say V'Yishka, meaning beforehand, Elol Achar Kol Masim Kulan, Amurim Lamala. Right now, Achar Yashkeh teaches you that you do it after everything that was mentioned above. What was mentioned above? Magid, Gimel Dvarim Makvim Ba. There are three things that are Makid, the ability of the woman to, right, drink the waters. What's that? Atzvah Karva Komitz. One, the Komitz of Mitzvah has to be Karei. Number two, Atzvah Nimchaka Megillah. Megillah has to be erased. Atzvah Tzkabela Lashvua. And she has to have the Shvua. Right, now the Gemara's going to go through each of these. Some of them are more obvious than others. Atzvah Karva Komitz. What do you mean she only drinks after the Komitz was brought on his behalf? Rabbi Shimon Letameh. That's Rabbi Shimon according to his own reasoning. Damar Mapirit Minchata. Barakakach Mashkeh. First of all, you bring the Mincha, and then you drink. Like she has mentioned in our Mishnah, and like we said above. So now, Atzvah Nimchaka Megillah, right? Okay, what one of the requirements for her to drink is that the Megillah is erased. So that's my answer, exactly what you're saying. Elamai Mashkeh. If it's not erased, what's she drinking? I mean, that, of course, that's a prerequisite for her to drink the waters, because without an erase in the waters, there's nothing to talk about. So Amar Ravashi, Lo Nitzrecha L'Sherishu Mo Nikar, right? That if it's not completely erased, meaning that if they put the Megillat Sotah in the waters and the ink came off, but there were still residual markings on the parchment, on the cloth, meaning that it must be completely erased and not simply that it is faded or rubbed off. I mean, that's got to be completely erased. Ad shelo tekabela shvu'ah. Right, so Mishta Hu Delashacha. Right, it sounds like she doesn't drink. Ha mitzvah kutzvila. Right, it sounds like that she doesn't drink until after sota, but you do write it before. Bahama Robo Migilat Sota Shakatva Kodum Shikabala Shwa Loashavalo Klum. Right, so isn't it, what do you mean? I mean that's not the only thing that's ma'akev here. What do you mean? You're talking about Kitzvibasha Migila, that she has to wait for the Shvua, meaning that the Shvua goes first, then the Kitzvibat Megillat Sotah, then she drinks it. So if you said, what was the Ma'akev? She said one of the Ma'akevim for it was the Shvua. Shvua is two steps before she drinks. So the Gemara says, Kedei Nashibol, that this wasn't brought down. Literally, it was just like a sidebar that was brought down. But truthfully, you're right. She would have to do the Shvua and the writing of the Megillah. So, I mean, it is two steps before, but they threw it in while they were throwing in things that, everything that happens before the Hashgah is that they have to write the Megillah, they have to erase the Megillah, the Shvua, which has to take place, which is even before. So that Shvua that takes place before, that's not literally right before, not Ma'akev, but the sense that the Shvua takes place, then you have the writing of the Megillah, then you have the Hashgah. But all these things in the Kariva Komets, but all these take place prior to her drinking the Mesotah. So that's Rabbi Shimon's opinion. So now the Gemara says, what did Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim argue about? So the Gemara says, Flate, Cry, Tzibe. This is what we looked at before, that there are three psukim, all that talk about Ishka, and they're each going to have to darshan what they do. I will go back. I mentioned before that the Tosfos argues about where Rabbi Kiva's opinion is. I'll go back when we get later in the Gemara, because Tosfos really addresses it later on in the Gemara. Alright. Vishka Kama, Bakar Yashke, Vishka Batro. You have these three words. Rabbanan, Vishka Kama, the Gufo. The first Ishka is literal. She drinks the waters, and that's prior to her bringing the mincha. Right? Shemashke, v'achakak makivet minchata. V'achar yashke, so what about v'achar yashke? V'achar yashke comes to teach him, v'ayle l'yishimosh nikar. That is, if it's not completely erased, she cannot drink it until it's completely erased. So v'achar yashke means, after, that teaches us, not literally that she drinks afterwards, but rather, v'achar yashke, after you erase it completely, making sure that it's completely erased. Right? V'hishka patra, what are they going to do with the last hishka? Shem nimchaka migila, v'omeret inish. If the Megillah is already erased and she says, I'm not going to drink, we force her to drink at that point. Make her drink against her will. Now, Rabbi Shimon Sabar.
That's a dinner of Rabbi Akiva, right?
That's a dinner of Rabbi Akiva, but in the place where Rabbi Akiva says. According to Tosos, this is, Rabbi Akiva agrees, exactly, this is Rabbi Akiva's limud. That's the question. When the Gemara above said the Hishka, was the Hishka Batra the one that he's learning from, or the Hishka Kama that he's learning from? Meaning that all Rabbi Akiva's statement said was that there were two Hishkas, right? And the two Hishkas, from one of them he learns that she drinks, and from one of them he learns that Narinota, we force her. Which one did he learn that she drinks, and which one did she learn that he forces her? So the original Girsa in the Gemara, which Rashi erases, the first Rashi here takes out of the Girsa. The Tosfos here prepares Rabbeinu Chananel, they leave the Girsa in peace. And the original Girsa in the Gemara said that it said Hishka Batra. The second Hishka comes to teach me that you force her, which is what you're saying. So exactly like the Chachamim. So the first Hishka was literal, and that's what she drank before she brought the Komet. The second Hishka was the extraneous one, or the one that was not necessary, and that which teaches Marinota. Then Rabbi Kiva looks at Chachamim. Rashi disagrees and says that a Braisa never has the term Batra in it. Right? That's not found in the Braisa. So Rabbeinu Kanal explains that Batra means that's the Gemara added it in. It's not the Lashon of Braisa, but the Gemara, in order to explain the Braisa, added in the words Batra. Rashi eliminates the word Batra and says, no, the other way around. The first Hishka is where he learns out the Narinota, and the second Hishka is literal. The second Hishka is literal that she drinks after the Mincha. And that's what does Rashi believe? Rashi believes he's like Rabbi Shimon. Like Rabbi Shimon, that you drink after the Mincha, they just argue about where you learn it from. Rabbi Shimon learns it out, we're going to see in a second, from Akar Yashkeh. Whereas Rabbi Kiva learns it out from the second word Hishka. And that the first Hishka is extraneous, is extra, and he learns from that you force her from the first Hishka. Right.
Who might not be Mina?
About who Rabbi Kiva holds like? Well, the person may possibly how we pass him.
How we pass him.
It might have influenced me in that if Rabbi Akiva is the Chachamim, then right, Rabbi Shimon's really a Tzitzas Yochid. If Rabbi Akiva then is with Rabbi Shimon, then it's not necessarily right. That's not necessarily true anyway. Now back to the now we did what the Chachamim did. Now let's look at Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon Sefer Vachayeshke Legufo. Vachayeshke teaches you literally. That's what happens. First she brings the mincha, and then she drinks. What does he do with the first ishka? Now he has two extra ishka. Ishka kama she'im ishka v'chakak v'grivet minchatak she'ra. So that's another possible nafkamina. Also over here is whether b'di'evit it works. According to Rabbi Akiva, b'di'evit it will not work because he doesn't have the extra ishka above to do this. Whereas Rabbi Shimon has the extra ishka because he learned it out v'chayeshke, and because he learned it out from that, he has two v'ishkas that are extra. One he's going to learn for the din of Rabbi Akiva, the second one, and the first one he's going to use v'ishka to teach you that b'di'evit, if they did it in the order of the chachamim, which he drank first and then read the comments, it's k'sherat. V'ishka is going to Rashi possibly. A difference between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shimon, which if you look in Rashi, just I'll show you this in the Rashi, in the wide lines in Rashi, it says Vihishka Batra Shimnimcha Kamagila, right? If you look straight down below that koteret, Vihishka, it says to Rabbi Akiva, Les Laim Hishka Bakartak Pigmintak Shera. Rabbi Akiva doesn't have that limud. That's the key. That would be the key difference between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Akiva according to Rashi. All right, let's continue in the Gemara here. So now, Vishka kama, she'im nihishka v'achakak v'kivit nechatak she'ra. Vishka batro, what does he do with the last vishka? She'im nimchaga migila, right? V'amra, ini shilte, marinotas. That's with the din of Rabbi Akiva. U'mashkinota v'al korcha. We force her to drink. So the Gemara says, v'rabbanan b'di eved, right? Lo patach kro. Rabbanan, why don't they learn like Rabbi Shimon? Because why would you think the like when you talk about b'di'evit is a like less than optimal situation. So why would you according to Rabbi Shimon, the first thing he shka, the first time the Torah mentions about drinking, that's b'di'evit already. That's not the optimal solution. That's the suboptimal solution. I mean, go, that's not the way you write things. You want to write it then, you tell them what's the optimal solution, and then you explain what is the suboptimal exclusion. The word says the Sabah Rabbi Akiva Mashkinot Abal Korcha. Does Rabbi Akiva really believe we force her to drink? Batanya, you have a brisa. You have a mirror. Kalbus shel barzel matilin netoch piat. They used to put some sort of wedge into her mouth. Once they opened her mouth up, they put a wedge in there to hold it open. Shemnim chukam megila v'amra eni shulta. That if they see the minchah megila is already erased, and then she says, "I won't drink." Ma'ari nota u'mashkinotah. We force her mouth open, wedge this kalbus, this pin or something that holds her mouth open, and you force her to drink bal korcha. Amar Rabbi Akiva, kumano tzuchim lo lebodka. Right? All we're trying to do is check her here. Valo v'duka v'omedet. Isn't she v'duka v'omedet? Meaning by her refusal to drink is an admission of her tuma. Meaning the fact that she's not drinking is because she's saying that basically it's the admission that she's tamei and tamea. If she's admitting tamea, why do we need to force her to drink? Ella. Before the komets is brought, before the mincha is brought, she can go back on it. But once the komets is brought, she cannot make a refusal, she cannot go back on it. So Gemara says, right, the same question. Rakiva's logic that applies by the Shkiyas Hashkas Sota should also apply by the Kmitz over here. I mean, Rabbi Akiva always did was change the pivotal point.
Wait, hold on a second. The Ella Achla Karva comes with an answer for Rabbi Akiva that, yeah, he held that before Hakrava, but after Hakrava, then he holds
where you force her, right. So if you force her, meaning Rabbi Akiva's in the same position now. What do you mean?
You force her.
Right, exactly. I mean, all you've changed is the pivot point. You haven't changed the fact that you're going to force her to drink. So Mishikarva comes any of the isn't that exactly what you just said? Yeah, once she says I'm not gonna do it, she's admitting she's to me, don't beat her also. So Lokasha, how the Kadra Bach Mahabritita, Hakamhadra Mahapiryuta. Question is why is she reversing her position? Why is she reversing her position over here? There are two possibilities. She's reversing her position because she's afraid, or she's reversing her position because she's in good state of mind. If she's in a sound mind and she's refusing to drink, we view that as an admission of guilt, and therefore, since she's not afraid, she's not doing that of fear, she's doing that of sound mind, we say if she refuses to drink at this point, that's an admission of guilt, and we don't force her to drink. Machmar Bitita, right, if she's doing, she's making a reversal because of her fear of the Mesilta, Achilo Kariba Komets, Akatilom Chok Megillah, right, if it's before the Kariba Komets that the Megillah is not erased yet, right, Inamim Chok Megillah, or even if it's erased, the Shaloka Din Avid, but they did it out of order, because what? She first drank the Komets, then drank, so according to Rabbi Akiva, right, therefore, Kwanim de Machakake, Machi Adrabo, right, then, Rabbi Kaman did the wrong thing, then they can go back on it, Mishakarva Komets. But once the comments is brought, within of it going to Makake, Lomatsa Hadraba. Right? Then they can't go back on it because they erased the, right? They once they've erased the Megillah, then you can't, go back on it because she's afraid. She's shaking. So what we're, what our feeling is at this point is she's not backing out of it because she's guilty. She's backing out of it because she's just scared. And Mechikas Hashem obviously plays a big role here. Right? Once, before, if to prevent the Mechikas Hashem, right? As long as that, I mean, even if she's out of fear, we'll take anything to get her out of there. We're willing, Rashi said that early in the Masechta, that we prefer her admission of guilt, even if it's not the perfect admission, rather than have Mechikas Hashem. But once we have Mechikas Hashem, then we got to determine what's the issue at hand here. Why is she reversing her position? If it's reversing her position, she's admitting she's guilty, then there's no reason to feed her anymore. And that's if she's in sound mind, she's not afraid, and she makes an admission, then we say, fine, she's Tamei'ah, she doesn't have to drink anymore. Whereas if she's shaking, we say the reason she's shaking is she's still afraid to drink it, even though she knows she's Tahora, she's afraid of what's going to happen to her if she drinks the Mesilta. So then we say to her, go ahead, it's okay, push her, we force her to drink at that point. As we say, the fear is driving her to back out of it, and not the, right, not her sense of guilt. Alright, we should make a couple points here before we go on in the Gemara. One point is that the Tosfos over here talks about that we have a similar process by Sreifa, right, by the punishment of Beis Din. When you have the capital punishment of Sreifa, right, there, Rabbi Yehuda also brings down an opinion. And over there it says that Rabbi Yehuda believes that you open her mouth with the tzevet. You open up her mouth with tongs. So why over here does he use a kalbus? And over there he uses tongs. And also over there they actually, force her open, they put two sudrin around her neck and they pull it tight and then opens her mouth. And over there, Rabbi Yehuda says no, that they use these tzevet. They bring a tzevet and open it up. So Tosfos says,
where's that?
Where's the Gemara? In Sanhedrin, when it talks about Misa Tzreifa, Tosfos asks, why, right, what is it over there, that over here we use the Kalbus, and over there, right, they open it up with a, right, they open up with the tongs. So he says that was, the difference is how you get her mouth open, and how you keep her mouth open. Right, that the tongs, right, allow you to open her mouth. Right? And then, once you got her mouth open, you have to keep them open. So you put the kalbus in to keep her mouth open in that position. Like we go to the dentist, right? When they need to keep the brace in, they keep your mouth open, they put it. So they have to get it open. But here she's fighting them, maybe possibly. So they use the tevet to open it. And then they put the kalbus in to hold it in place. Whereas, now why, alright, so fine, why not, why over here do we only mention the kalbus, and over there they mention the tevet? So that has to do with the difference over there, what the discussion's about, which is that the part of the process of mita over there is be'akla re'echa kamocha, and part of it is that they begin, in the Rabbanan who begin the process of it, they say that you actually choke her a little bit to force her mouth open. And there you're makarik misa, you actually cause her to choke a little bit, and you're starting to weaken her, even before the sreifa happens. So there the Gemara says, well, since chenek is a lighter form of punishment than sreifa, we allow that to happen first in order to get to the process of sreifa, because after it come up, we always pick something that's better. So over there, when they're discussing the process of getting her mouth open, which is important inherently to the killing process, but Misa's Beis Din, therefore they talk about the methodology for getting it open. Over here, we're worried about is having her mouth open, and then they just talk about how do we keep her mouth open once it is opened up. Once they force her mouth open, they stick the kalbus in. But just, it's a side point about the view of them. Now, according to Rabbi Akiva, alright, now we have a question here, which drives, depending on how you learned before. Rabbi Akiva, according to Rashi, holds like Rabbi Shimon. According to Tosfos, Rabbi Akiva learns like the Chachamim. Right now, according to Rabbi Akiva, who holds like the Chachamim, you can clearly see what the Gemara's problem right now is going to be, which is if you look over here, what did Rabbi Akiva just say in the last statement in the Brice over here? The last part of the Gemara was that Mishikarav, that what was the proper way to do it? That Mechikas Megillah only happened after Akravas HaKomet. Right? And you brought the Komet, then you raised the Megillah and she drank. Right? That's what the Brice said. And if they did it wrong, and they raised it beforehand, we don't force her to drink because they did it wrong. Wait, if Rabbi Akiva holds like the Chachamim, when's she supposed to drink? She's supposed to drink before the Akravas HaKomets. So now you can see clear. The Gemara is going to say, Kasha Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva. That's the next part of the Gemara. According to the way Tosfos learns, it's clear what the Kasha Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva is. Kasha and Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Kiva is that before he said that he held like the Chachamim. Now you're saying it looks like he holds like Rabbi Shimon. How do you explain the two Rabbi Kivas? According to Rashi, right, the question's different because, right, according to Rashi, he held like Rabbi Shimon to start with. Right? He always held like Rabbi Shimon. He held like Rabbi Shimon, and and if he held like Rabbi Shimon, then we always knew that the Ashkata Sota took place afterwards. So according to Rashi, the question has not to do with, right, whether he goes like Rabbi Shimon or like Rabbi, but rather, in Rabbi Shimon, what is the pivot point? Right, it sounded like before from above that the pivot point and when we start to force or according to Rabbi Kiva above was what? The Hishkah. Ashkata Sota. That the drinking was the point of the pivotal point. I mean, once the sefer was erased, that was, and the kink of the sefer, that was drove it. Over here, it sounds like the Akravas HaKomets is the pivot point for Rabbi Akiva. That only once the Komets is brought, that's what drives, determines whether we force her to continue or not continue. So that's the steering Rabbi Akiva. Is it Rabbi Akiva believes the pivot point is the Komets, right, the Akravas HaKomets, or does he believe that the pivot point is the Mechiata Megillah in the Ashkata Sota, the forcing? Where did he say Ma'arit Nota? Over here it says Ma'arit Nota on this brisa after Akravas HaKomets. Over there he said after Mechinkas HaMegillah. So which one is it? Which, well, that's the way Rabbi, because according to Rashi, Rabbi Akiva never changed his mind here. It's not like he's holding Rabbi Shimon here and above he didn't, because above he also held like Rabbi Shimon. So they want to know what's the pivot point. So that's what the Gemara says now. Kasha the Rabbi Akiva, the Rabbi Akiva. So that's the way Rashi learns. What does Rashi learn? That means that, over there he says that the Mechika is the Mi'akev until the point where we force her to drink. And over here it sounds like the Komets is the driving point for that. Right? Whereas, Tosfos learns, no, what does it mean that Komets versus Mechika? Komets versus Mechika is which one happened first, right? When is the Mi'akev? It's because, right, according, before, when he learned like the Chachamim, she already drank, right? And then the Komets is the driving point. Over here, she's having the Komets and then drinking, so the drinking is the Mi'akev, so that means that, which one is it? Because you're like Rabbi Shimon or Rabbi Kiva. So my answer's up.
There's no distinction between whether or not the erasure was done at the proper point. It's not just the Mechika is Mi'akev or just the Komets is Mi'akev.
But he holds clearly like Rabbi Shimon in the second brisa. That's not a question. So Rashi reconciles by making right. He said since that second brisa is so obvious that he learned like Rabbi Shimon, he makes him look like Rabbi Shimon above. That's the eager problem here. And that's my answer's up. Straight tonight, I'll leave it to Rabbi Akiva. They're two Tanayim in the position of Rabbi Akiva. So if they're two Tanayim in the position of Rabbi Akiva, according to Tosfos, that means exactly that. They're two Tanayim. One Tana believes Rabbi Akiva holds like the Chachamim, and one Tana holds like Rabbi Akiva believes like Rabbi Shimon. According to Rashi, that means no. Two Tanayim according to Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva always holds like Rabbi Shimon. It's just a question of what is the pivot point in terms of no reverse point. There's no reverse point, the Komets and Mincha, or there's no reverse point, the Mechikat Megillah. And that's how Rashi will answer up. Right, we'll try to get to the Mishnah now. We have a couple of minutes.
The way the Mishnah presents
flowchart. Yeah, if you don't get to the Mechika, or if you don't get to the Komets in Rabbi Akiva's position, then any reversal is a reversal and nothing goes on. Stop there.
Right.
Once we've crossed that, as we call it, crossed the Rubicon, right? Once he's reached after that point, then now it depends on why she's reversing herself. If she's reversing herself out of sound mind and body, then we say that's a good reversal and Paduka Bomet.
Even
at that point. But if she does it after out of fear, then we say, no way, keep going, because the fear, she's just scared to drink it, but we want her to continue. We already erased the name, or we already brought the Komets. Either one of those drives us forward and we say, go forward no matter what. So Paduka Bomet is a case, it depends where you're found in the flowchart, okay? Alright, so now, Ibailo, Amra Inishota, Machmat Biriuta. So she, at a sound mind and body, she says, I will not drink. Bechazra Amashota. And then afterwards, she says, Shotani, I will drink. Mo. Came into Amra Inishota, Tmeani, Kamra. The one, like what we said before, the fact that she says, I won't drink is an admission of Tum'a. Came into Ichzik Nafshab Tum'a, since she already established herself as being Tamei, Lo Matiadrava. Now she can't reverse her position. Once she's admitted to being Tamei, she can't go back on it. Oh. So when came into Amashota, Ani, Gayadatad, Machmat Biriuta, that the reason she said it earlier was because she was out of fear. I mean, that she looked like she was in sound mind and body, but the fact that she's reversing herself now tells you that she wasn't in sound mind and body, and that reversal now is just going back because she was in fear, and now she's going back on it. The more at least it is a take.
It's simple that she did it out of because she was fear. Even for the Chikas Hashem, then she could reverse.
If she, what do you mean? Is it clear? Imagine from here, if she did it first out of fear.
Out of fear, before the Chikas Hashem, which it does.
And then we know it's mine, then they assume that that change of mind is okay, right? It sounds like that. I agree with you. It sounds like that from the Gemara. All right, Bodhishmael Tarach, she attained Mar Lutoch Hamayin. You have to actually put something bitter into the waters. Why? My Tamar Kra, Meha Marit. Because it says that when you before the eraser of the Megillah, it says Macha El Meha Marim. So how is the water Marim already? If the Mechika, you can understand if it already has the ink and all the other stuff in it, right? That's one thing. But before that, why is it called the Meha Marim? Must be that it's bitter beforehand. You have to make it. Means that you have to get you have to make it Mar, not because of the Klala or all that's in there, but it sounds like there has to be a physical item that makes it actual Mar. That there has to be a physical taste that is Mar prior to the Mechika Samigilah in there. All right, we'll stop here.